Hey, this is Samuel Leeds here, and a massive thank you for downloading or buying this book, How to Get Financially Free in 7 Days Through Property. This book is an exact step-by-step of how you can achieve financial freedom in a week. It's an outrageous thing to say, but I actually literally just did it a few months ago, hence why writing this book. So before we get started with the book, a little bit of background premise about what to expect is this. So I've been in property now for over a decade, and the first time I became financially free, meaning that I had a passive income through property that covered my living expenses, therefore I never had to work again unless I wanted to. To get to that status, it took me 4 years, which is pretty impressive, 21 years old, never having to work again. So I've been teaching people how I did that at my crash courses, at my events, and although that's fantastic, sometimes people say, "That's cool, Samuel, but you did that 10 years ago." Today it's different. People come up with excuses. I haven't got any money. I haven't got this. I live too far away. The economy's changed. So I decided as a social experiment to potentially start all over again from scratch, literally give up my bank account, leave my family, go to a random area that I did not know, and start all over again. So I put this idea on Facebook. I had over 10,000 people that said you should so do it. I did it. I achieved it. I became financially free again from scratch, and it took me a week. It's made headline news across the papers. I've been on BBC 6 o'clock news Midlands today talking about this experience. And the YouTube documentary that was put together of me doing it has had over 1 million views. And as a result of that, a lot of people have been asking me questions about what exactly did I do and how did I do it. And in this book, I'm going to share and you are going to discover the exact step-by-step magic words and techniques to not only becoming financially free in a week, but also securing the right property deals, deal packaging, so finding a deal and selling it on, rent to rent, networking, selling, serviced accommodation. And I literally left everything and became financially free all over again from scratch just to prove a point. And that point is that you can do this too. So I hope the book is helpful and I hope that you actually implement what you learn. So here it goes. The Financial Freedom Challenge, hashtag FF Challenge. The title, Get Financially Free in 7 Days, is an outrageous statement. But I say this because I achieved it. In 7 days, I made £8,000 and acquired 2 high cash flowing rent-to-rent apartments. You will discover the step-by-step instructions that will enable you to do the same. The reason I managed to do this so quickly is because I've done it before. When I was 17, I bought my first property. Nobody gave me a penny. I'm from a working, middle-class family, and by the time I was 21, I was financially free. This means my passive income was enough for me to live comfortably forever. 4 years later, I was a property millionaire, and now I'm a multimillionaire. I own a castle, Ribsford House, in Worcestershire, and run one of the most successful training companies in the UK. Making money is simply the result of having the correct knowledge and implementing it. When poor people win the lottery, they become poor again. If a rich person were to lose everything, they would become rich again. And they do, and we've seen this happen time and time again. Why? Because their blueprint is set for rich or is set for poor, and the way they think and their knowledge is programmed to achieve that. Therefore, rather than hoping that you might become wealthy one day, it's better to learn the skills to achieve that and simply make it happen. After a decade of owning property and being successful, I deeply desired to start all over again from scratch, to prove to myself and to the world that with the right knowledge, absolutely anybody can become financially free. Financially free means you're liberated from having to work a regular job. In this instance, my goal was to achieve a gross income of £3,000 per month. At least half of that had to be passive income. That is to say, recurring money from rents that would continue coming in even if I was sleeping. On my Facebook group, I posted the idea of starting all over again and called it the Financial Freedom Challenge, hashtag FF Challenge. I got over 10,000 people asking me to do this. Objective of the challenge: to build a property income of £3,000 per month from scratch. At least 50% of this needs to be passive residual income. If I run out of money and cannot afford to live, or abandon the challenge without my income, I fail. If I can prove to be financially independent after starting with nothing and then demonstrate that I can make £3,000 a month through property, I succeed. Purpose: to prove that anybody can do this with the right knowledge and become financially free, regardless of their circumstances. No excuses. Rules. Rule number one, money. I cannot invest a penny of my own money, nor do I have access to my bank account for anything. Two, staff. I cannot get any of my staff to help me in any way or assist me with this challenge. Three, network. I cannot take a penny from anyone in my existing network. Any properties I buy or sell have to be from strangers. Due to my name being quite well known in the property world, I will be using an alias. Four, I'm allowed to travel as much as I like during this challenge, but I'll have to be based in a place where I do not know anybody and have no properties. This location will be pulled out of a hat randomly on a Facebook Live. Five, I will be given 7 days, and after 7 days, I will be evicted from my hotel, which means that I will be on the streets unless I have made money. Six, I will begin the challenge with a new bank account, a compliant property sourcing account with a balance of zero and a zero credit rating. I will be given £50 in my pocket for basic essentials such as food. Seven, I will have a referee with me at all times to make sure that I stick rigorously to these rules, and I will document the journey for my YouTube channel. If I succeed, I will have to go over all the profits and figures with a third party, independent professional who has experience in finance and property. They will assess and decide if my success is satisfactory, in line with the original goal of the Financial Freedom Challenge. Seven-step formula to financial freedom in 7 days. Not only did I achieve this goal, but I did it in just 7 days. All I did was follow seven simple steps that I will be sharing in each chapter of this book. Could anybody do it in a week? No, because newbies would need to allow time to learn the ropes first and get experience. Success is like driving a car. Once you've passed your driving test and been driving for years, it becomes second nature and extremely easy. However, it's always difficult at first, and you'll always need an instructor with you. I hope to be a good instructor to you in this book. When you become successful, please do track me down and tell me, because your success is my oxygen. Chapter 1, Find Property Leads Online. As a property investor, you need leads, because leads turn into deals, and deals are the only way you will make money. A lead is a potential deal. A deal is an agreed sale. You need to be swimming in property leads. You can mess around thinking about property, looking online at nice houses, watching Homes Under the Hammer, or you can get serious. Serious investors educate themselves and view a lot of properties, as in walking around them and talking with the vendors and agents. The person who views the most houses wins. I hear some uneducated investors say, "I'm just waiting for the agent to get back to me about this brilliant deal. Fingers crossed." No, you should never hold out for any agent or any deal. Leave it in the pipeline, but go and find more leads. I hear other uneducated investors say, "We haven't had any properties go through yet, but everything happens for a reason." Yes, everything happens for a reason, but the reason is usually because you messed up. Don't expect the first property you view to be the one that turns into a deal. You need to have more leads than you know what to physically do with. So how do you find these great property leads? Well, there is a magical city with all the best property leads in the world. If you learn your way around this city, you'll become very successful, and the city is called the Internet. The Internet is a fabulous place filled with different types of property leads that you can turn into deals. So what kind of leads should you be looking for on the internet, and how do you find them? So let me go through the different types of leads that you should be looking for. Below market value, BMV properties. A below market value property deal is a property that's heavily discounted. Now, uneducated investors claim to have found a BMV deal, but really they have found a BAP deal. BAP stands for below asking price. It is completely irrelevant what the asking price is. Some uneducated investors say it was on the market for £100,000, but I've got it for £90,000. That's £10,000 below market value. No. That is £10,000 below asking price. You need to be able to know, as a property investor, what the true current market value is of a property. On the Property Investors Crash Course, we teach you three different ways how to find out the actual market value. But on this short book, I'm just going to give you one. And this is very, very easy to do. Go to a website called www.mouseprice.com. Type in the address of the property and it will give you an estimate of what the market value is of that property. Now, whilst the estimate is not gospel, it's more important what Mouse Price says than what the asking price is, because the asking price could be £1 million. The way to find below market value deals is to put yourself in front of motivated sellers. The last thing you want to be as a professional property investor is a motivated buyer. You become a motivated buyer by getting emotionally attached to properties just because you like them. This is a business, and you should buy with your formulas, not your feelings. So when emotions are high, intelligence is low. Therefore, never fall in love with a strategy or a property. Motivated sellers are everywhere. There are millions of houses for sale in the UK right now. If only 1% of those properties that were for sale right now were highly motivated to sell and are prepared to take a big discount, just 1%, then that means that there are tens of thousands of below market value property deals out there today. And there are many ways to find them, but I'm going to give you just two. Number one, go to a website called www.gumtree.com and search for properties for sale in your area. Find the ones that have been on the market for the longest. The vendor's contact details will be at the right-hand side of the page. Sometimes it's just an email box, but usually there'll be a template phone number too. These are below market value leads, not deals, but these are people who've had their house advertised on Gumtree. And believe me, if you put your house on Gumtree, you're pretty motivated, but they've been on for a very long time. Two, go to www.rightmove.co.uk. and search for properties in your area. On Rightmove, they have recently put a keyword search filter where you can put words like motivated seller, reduced, cash only, quick sale, and see what comes up. Probably lots. If not, then search slightly further out. It doesn't have to be in your hometown. It has to make money. These are below market value leads. Houses of multiple occupancy. HMO. Identify an area that you know has a good demand for rooms. You can find this out by asking local investors and HMO managers. Then go to www.spareroom.co.uk and filter the search to landlord ads only, which means the landlord is managing the HMO themselves. Scroll through the advertisements until you see a perfectly good property that has rooms still available. These empty rooms are probably causing the landlord a lot of stress. The reason he or she cannot rent them out might be nothing to do with the property, but everything to do with the tired, busy landlord. The landlord's telephone number will be on the advertisement. This is a HMO lead. Rent to serviced accommodation. Serviced accommodation allows you to rent out a property as a guest house. It has to be in the right area and doesn't work for every property type. When done correctly, however, it can quadruple your rentable income. One of the fastest ways to achieve high cash flow is by renting an apartment from a landlord and then legally subletting it at a much higher rate. I'll explain more on this strategy later in the book, but how do you find apartments directly from the landlord? I use a website called www.openrent.co.uk. This is a UK site which is filled with properties to let. Nearly every one of them is available directly from the landlord. Once you've mastered and understood this serviced accommodation and rent-to-rent strategy, anybody can find hundreds of leads in a day. I have a saying, the person who views the most property wins. On one of my property training programs, I came across a highly driven, passionate man named Anthony. He had absolutely no money, but he did have a whatever it takes attitude. On the last day of the training, Anthony said, in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to find 40 property leads and view them all. I knew this was an ambitious number, and I highly doubted that Anthony would be able to view 40 properties in the next 2 weeks. So I said to him, Anthony, if you can view 40 properties in the next 2 weeks, I will give you a £1,000 reward for your efforts. Now, the reason I did that was because I knew that if Anthony did anywhere even close to 40 properties, that the £1,000 would actually be very insignificant to the money that he would make as a result of viewing so many houses, because he who views the most houses wins. Sure enough, Anthony failed, and I did not give him the £1,000 reward. But also, sure enough, Anthony had sold a deal and made more than £1,000. He had also secured a no money down, rent to rent deal, which would generate a cash flow of £1,000 per month. And he managed to raise the deposit from another investor for the down payment on his first buy-to-let property. This philosophy is what I used myself on day one of the Financial Freedom Challenge, knowing that regardless of the fact that I didn't have any money, I didn't know the area that I was, I had nothing going for me at all and an alias name, I needed to go out and view as many properties as I could too. So on day one of the Financial Freedom Challenge, I simply spent the whole day ringing around estate agents and sellers. I packed my diary full of viewings for the following day. A good relationship is better than a good deal, and I was excited to have spoken to a letting agent called Eleanor. She has landlords who are willing to let me take on their properties with a corporate let agreement in Sheffield. This could be fantastic rent-to-serviced accommodation opportunities, and I was going to be meeting her the next day. I also had four HMOs to view, along with a development opportunity in Sheffield and surrounding areas. The first day was a successful day, spent with my laptop in my hotel room, and all I did was exactly what I've explained in this chapter. Chapter 2. Turning online leads into tangible deals. It is possible to turn leads into deals without even leaving your home. We've had many people who have found leads at the Property Investors Crash Course. They have called the seller and secured a deal. This is possible, but it's more common to clinch the deal when meeting the seller or agent in person. Also, an estate agent will usually only let you make an offer after a viewing. My advice is to do both. After swimming in leads, now is the time to make as many offers as you can. I have another saying, the person who makes the most offers wins. Thank God we live in a world of telephones, internet and cars. Just imagine how difficult life would be and how hard it would be to achieve financial freedom if you had to send letters and ride horses. We live in a time where it is so easy to become financially free, but people take it for granted. I see so many people that are just too scared to make a telephone call, and they're completely taking for granted the opportunities that we have in 2019. Get over your fear of being rejected, because I've seen so many people with these little voices and these little fears where they're kept poor and a slave to their job forever because they didn't want to pick up the phone. When finding below market value leads, as we learned earlier, just pick up the phone, dial the number and say, hi, name of seller. My name's Samuel, and I was ringing to see if your property is still for sale. Assuming they say yes, continue. I noticed it's been on the market a very long time and wondered if you knew why that might be. At this point, they'll usually begin to tell you their story. often revealing their frustrations and pain points. This is when you'll say, if I were to buy it off you tomorrow for cash, what would be the lowest you could accept but still live with? Then be completely silent and wait for them. In business, the person who's the first to give a figure always loses. They'll hopefully give you a figure of what the lowest they could take but still live with will be. At this stage, find out what the true market value is and decide whether the difference, the discount, is big enough for you. It is possible that they'll be offended and you'll not get the deal because you asked them what the lowest they could accept would be. If that happens, it really doesn't matter. You're no poorer, you're no weaker, and you're just one telephone call closer to a deal. For a juicy below market value property deal, you need at least 15% below the true market value. You may be scared to do this because you think, if they give me a figure and it's good, then what? Your problem is you're trying to work out what's going to happen down the line and what you're going to do next and how you're going to buy it and how you're going to fund it instead of focusing on the present goal. The immediate aim, the immediate present goal is to turn a lead into a deal. Don't worry about how you're going to fund it, who you're going to sell it to, how you're going to sell it, or anything else. Once they give you the figure, you can then work out if the deal is good. If the deal's good, you've not promised you're going to buy it for that. You've just said what would be the lowest you would accept. If the deal is good, you can then worry about what to do next. However, you're then in a position where you have a deal. When texting tired HMO landlords, write something simple such as, hey, I've seen your rooms for rent. Would you consider selling the property or receiving a monthly guaranteed rent? If so, I'd love to talk. Regards, Samuel. If you only send 3 text messages, you'll probably not get a response. During my Financial Freedom Challenge, I sent over 100 text messages like this in all surrounding areas in the first day. I also rang the owner of every apartment on the market in Sheffield. Sheffield was my selected location pulled from the hat. And managed to book 3 viewings for the following day. I didn't waste time viewing apartments unless I knew that the landlord was happy with me agreeing a corporate let on the property and running it as a rent-to-rent serviced accommodation. I simply said, hi, I'm ringing about name the property. Is this still available? If the owner replies yes, I'll continue. I could potentially take it on as a corporate let. This would mean my company would pay the full rent over a 3 to 5 year period. We'd then let our guests stay there through booking.com. Is this something you're familiar with? Sometimes at this point, the agent or landlord will be like, whoa, and not be interested. In which case, fine. Other times, they'll be open to the idea of this arrangement. Excellent. Your purpose should not be to calculate every minor detail at this juncture. You could spend hours working out the figures on an apartment only for the agent to say, sorry, we don't do corporate lets. The key is to get in front of as many open-minded agents and motivated sellers as possible. Finding a good relationship is far better than finding a good deal. We had a couple of ladies come to the Property Investors Crash Course called Leah and Cheryl, mother and daughter. And shortly afterwards, from the Property Investors Crash Course, they found an agent, not a deal, an agent who was willing to pass them lots of potential rent-to-serviced accommodation deals. This agent got it, understood it, just because they followed the scripts that they had learned in this book and from the program. From this one agent, Leah and Cheryl, mother and daughter, are now making a monthly profit of £14,000 per month. This is what happens when you get a good relationship with an agent. If you want to hear Leah and Cheryl's story, it is on YouTube. If you just search Winners on a Wednesday, Samuel Leeds, you'll get a whole bunch of stories, and theirs is titled Financially Free in 6 Weeks. I'm about to give you 3 fantastic tips that will help you turning a lead into a deal. So the first one is always be very specific with your offer. If you put an offer in, say the house is on for £100,000 and you offer £80,000, which is a nice round number, then they're likely to say, meet me in the middle at £90,000. Whereas if instead you'd have been really specific, it just makes it look like you've calculated, you've crafted that figure, and they're less likely to try and compromise with you so much. So instead of saying 80,000 and then rounding it up to 90 and meeting you in the middle, Imagine if you said instead, I'll give you £81,750. What happens is they'll sometimes just say yes because they'll think it must only be worth that because it's a specific figure. But other times what they'll do is they'll just round it up from 81,750 to 82 to make them feel a little bit better. But you've saved yourself £8,000 because you've been specific. It's odd, but it works. Tip number two. If the owner accepts your offer first time round, it means that you offered too high. It's really irritating when you put an offer in and they snap your arm off and say, yes, let's do it. Because then you're left thinking, man, what would have happened if I'd gone a little bit lower? So the trick is, if you're not embarrassed by the lowness of your offer, then it is too high. Always put in less than you think they'll say yes to. Not to offend them, but to give yourself room to then come up a little bit. Tip number three, and this is my personal favorite that I use all the time in business and in negotiations. And I call this the if-would offer. The if-would offer is, instead of saying, here is my offer of £81,750, instead I'll say, if I were to offer you £81,750, would you accept? Now, when you do this, one of two things will happen. One, the person will say, yeah, I would if you did that. In which case, you have not officially offered. You just said, if I were to offer. And then it gives you time to say, excellent. Well, I should be able to do that. Just give me a couple days to crunch some numbers and I'll come back. The second thing that could happen is that they say no. In which case, you can ask, well, what would you accept then? When you're given the price, always negotiate, continuing to use the if-would strategy. You can always come back and say no. Never make a formal offer that you cannot commit to on the basis that you hope to sell the deal, but use the if-would strategy instead. Once you have a soft agreement, i.e. they've said yes to an if-would, in other words, you know the owner would accept because you just identified his or her pain point and made an if-would offer, you can get to work on crunching the numbers and deciding if this will definitely work. Don't waste your time intensively calculating the numbers if you have no idea what they would accept. You could spend 3 hours putting a spreadsheet together, working out how much you'd pay for it, how much it would rent for, only to find out they're not prepared to budge on price at all, and actually, you have not got a deal. Do not bother working out the XYZ before you've done the ABC. When watching a movie, you don't watch the end of the movie first to decide if you want to watch it. You take a slight gamble and watch it from the beginning. In the same way, you do not know exactly what's going to happen with your deal, in business and with your life. Just put one foot in front of the other until you get there. If you've not done so already, a great first step will be joining me at the Property Investors Crash Course, where you'll learn to formulate and understand the difference between a good deal and a bad deal. Just put one foot in front of the other and use the if-would strategy. On day two of my Financial Freedom Challenge, I managed to find 5 deals. I turned 5 leads into actual deals. They were 3 rent-to-rent serviced apartments in Sheffield that would cost me approximately £2,500 each to cover the first month's rent, deposit and agent fees. This would total £7,500. But I'd be making around £1,000 per month on each one. So I put down £7,500 and then I make £3,000 per month with the 3 properties. So they were extremely juicy deals. One was a HMO in Doncaster, which I agreed to purchase at £149,000. It was being rented out for £2,000 a month in its current condition, and the owners were selling the property due to a divorce. It would yield me a return on investment, ROI, of over 20%. Whilst I didn't have any money to buy the house, I planned to sell this deal for £2,500 to an investor who had the money in place. And 5th deal that I found was a development opportunity also in Doncaster, which was on the market for £97,000. I offered £96,750 and was asked to round it up to £97,000. It was worth £120,000 based on my advanced calculations, so I was delighted with this deal. Even better, it had the opportunity to be converted into two flats, which would lift the value even more and produce a return on investment of at least 17% as it was. Sadly, I didn't have any money to buy it, but I planned also to sell this deal for £2,500. So if I was able to sell the development opportunity for £2,500, the HMO for £2,500, this would give me enough money to secure two of the rent-to-rents. They, in turn, would give me a passive monthly income of £2,000. Not bad for day two, but now I needed to find the investors, sell the deals, and build my network. Chapter 3. Find investors and build your network. The property business is a people business. Ultimately, all of your money is going to come from people, not property. Property is simply your product, but the money will come from your customers. Your customers will be your tenants and property buyers. Most people think that the most valuable commodity in property investing is money. This is completely wrong. The most important commodity is actually knowledge, followed by network. During my financial freedom challenge, not only did I not have access to any of my own money, I was also not allowed to tap into my network. I could only do business with strangers. I'm known for saying I'd rather lose all of my money than lose all of my network. When buying property, these are typically the key players you need in your power team. It spells Samuel. S for solicitor, A for accountant, M for mortgage broker, U for you, E for estate agent, and L for labourer. Your solicitor will take care of the legal side of the business and deal with the completion of your property. The accountant will advise you whether you need a company or if it's better to buy as an individual, and then make sure you're paying as little tax as possible by claiming expenses properly. I love paying tax, but I love saving it even more. A mortgage broker will get you the best rates on your mortgage loans and find the most suitable lenders. You are the biggest player in your power team, as you will personally have to oversee all the different departments and ensure everybody is doing their job properly. The estate agent and letting agent will deal with the tenants and manage the everyday running of your portfolio. And the labourers will deal with the maintenance, renovations, or general dog's body jobs, depending on your criteria. However, on this occasion, I had no money and I wasn't buying these properties myself. I was either taking them on as a rent-to-rent project or I was selling them for a fee. My plan was to sell the properties to make some quick cash and then to use that to secure my rent-to-rent deals that would give me a great monthly cash flow. Therefore, my biggest need was to find some investors right now who might be open to paying me some sourcing fees. To build your investor list, you can do this online, on social media, using places like Facebook and YouTube. However, people will only give you money if they feel like they know you, like you, and trust you. And the fastest way to build this is to meet people in person, which is why I really recommend to my students that they go out to physical property networking events, business network meetings, or anything where there'll be actually people in the room that potentially are open to investing in property. One of my students goes to auctions and he finds the losers at the auction, the people who missed out on the deal, and they're obviously feeling pretty sad that they didn't get the deal. They also have money in their pocket ready to invest, and he then goes and approaches them and tells them about his deals. Absolutely genius. But the key is meet people, because money comes from people. Now, when I arrived at this property meeting, because I'm reasonably well known in the property world, my referee made me wear a wig and fake glasses to make me less recognisable. The worst thing you can do is to be pushy with your deals, especially to complete strangers that don't know you from Adam. If you're pushy, you'll only look desperate and you'll push people away. For this reason, I decided to not sell any deals at all on that day. People will only buy from you when they know you, like you, and trust you, so I had one day to build trust with investors and show them that I knew my stuff. My strategy was to identify the serious investors in the room by asking them questions. The kind of questions I would ask might be, what are you here for? How long have you been in property? What sort of deals are you looking to buy? I sat down with as many investors as possible over lunch and the coffee breaks, listening to their stories. I offered help and advice to people who were undecided on their strategy. This demonstrated to them that I was an expert, and they began to trust and respect me. I told them that I was new to property myself, but had spent a lot of time going to training programs and networking with good property players. This intrigued them, and I slowly became popular as the day progressed. I went by the alias name Lucas Ruby. Before the challenge began, I had registered Lucas Ruby Limited with Companies House and had set up a bank account, as well as a compliant company. To sell deals, you do need to be compliant, which is quite straightforward and inexpensive. For more details on this, I would recommend reading Whatever It Takes by Alistair Cunningham. I met one guy named Saj Hussain. I knew Saj already, as he is a well-respected investor from Birmingham, but he did not see through my cheap disguise. After a long conversation with him and him telling me he was actively building his portfolio, I said, "Saj, I have a few really good deals I'm looking to sell. If the figures worked for you, would you be interested in buying one from me?" Again, if the figures worked for you, would you be interested in buying one from me? If would. Saj said he was not interested in anything too far from Birmingham. I could have left it at that, but in fact, Saj now had a relationship with me, and that was paramount, so I decided to ask him for his referrals. In the same way that you leverage your money by getting money from the bank, which gives you a mortgage, you should also leverage your network. The average person knows 1,000 people. At this meeting, there's only about 60 people in the room, but I was seeing 60,000 people because I know the power of leverage. So I said to Saj, "Saj, I appreciate you're only looking in Birmingham and these deals are around Sheffield. Who do you know who would benefit from seeing these deals that I have?" Saj, literally, there and then, went through his telephone book and gave me the details of another influential property investor that might be interested. All this time, he had no idea that I was Samuel Leeds. I rang his contact and built instant trust by saying, "Hey, I'm a friend of Saj's. I was with him just today and he said I should call you about a deal I have. Are you free to speak?" This particular lead did not come to anything, but I was doing this all day. I spent the whole day collecting business cards, taking people's details, and asking for referrals. By the time I got home on the evening of day 3, I put all of my new contacts onto a spreadsheet and set up a customer relations management, CRM, system. This is a database of everybody you know, and you can email them all at once anytime. I used a CRM system, which you can use at www.mailchimp.com, because it's free, and I had no money at this point still. I stayed up until early hours of the morning and even made a website on Wix.com, which also was free. The website was lucas-ruby.com. It was only day 3 of my Financial Freedom Challenge, and I was now known and respected by dozens of property investors and had deals to sell. Chapter 4. Package your deals and sell them to investors. On day 4, my car broke down on the motorway. Forced to abandon it and scrounge a lift, I arrived at the property meeting with my suitcase and all my belongings in plastic carrier bags. I was losing focus and beginning to panic about finding the money for these deals. I was heartened though by the warm welcome I received from all my new friends, and several said, "Lucas, I want to talk to you about one of your property deals." I started to get excited again. If I sold just 2 deals for £2,500 each, that would give me enough to secure 2 of those service departments, which would be generating me £2,000 per month. I was determined to make that happen. There were 3 people who were very hot. Hot in the context means they were ready to buy. When selling deals, here are the steps to take. 1. Present your property. You have to present your property and demonstrate it is a packaged deal. You have to show all of the figures and have a clear breakdown of the numbers. This is something we teach you at the Property Investors Crash Course, as it's crucial you can calculate and present the return on investment. If the property is on the internet, you need to make sure the potential investor cannot find it and cut you out of the loop. The way around this is to either exclude the full address from all the details, or make the individual sign a non-disclosure agreement, NDA. This means he or she cannot disclose the information or go directly to the seller. This presentation should be written and sent via an email. It should include the condition of the property, the achievable rent, proof of the true market value, agreed purchase price, and any other relevant information. At the bottom of the email, make sure to tell the investor how much your fee will be and how to reserve the property. I asked the person to just call me to reserve it and added it was on a first-come, first-served basis. This creates a little bit of urgency and, of course, is 100% true. 2. Ask questions. Once you've emailed this presentation of this property to your list of investors, you'll no doubt begin getting calls. It is vitally important that when investors ring, you remain in control. The person who asks the most questions is the person in control. Untrained property sellers often spend hours on the telephone answering 21 questions about the deal, only for the investor to then say, "I'll think about it," or "I'll speak to my wife and get back to you in 3 years' time," or "let me consult my lawyer and my dog." The key is to ask them the questions. The first question I always ask is, "What was it you liked about this property?" This forces the investor to sell themselves to the property so that I don't have to sell the property to them. He's just reminding himself why he called me and convincing himself to buy it. Once the investor has told me what he likes about it, I'm now the one in control. I'll then say and ask, "I have lots of investors to phone about this property, so would it be okay if I ask you a few questions to check it might be suitable for you?" Boom! This again creates a sense of urgency for the person. I'm not manipulating the investor. I'm just making it easy for him or her to buy. The bottom line is, he called me because he wants the property. The deal is good. It is the ethical thing now to pre-qualify him to make sure he's right for it. In doing this and pre-qualifying him and asking him questions, it shows that you are not desperate for money, but are truly trying to serve the investor, and inadvertently will make them really want to buy. Win-win. If he begins to try and take control and starts asking me lots of questions, I'll answer them, but then immediately follow with another question. Jesus was the master at this. He would answer a question with a question. People would say, "Who are you?" And he'd say, "Who do you say I am?" You need to be the same. Be in control. Ask the questions, such as, "Have you got a mortgage in principle for this property? Have you got the funds in place to go? Is this your first property?" Be in control. 3, close. Once the investor has answered yes to the pre-qualifying questions, I'll then say, "Well, it sounds like you're a good fit for the property. Shall I just run through the key points of the deal once more before we talk about the next steps?" At this point, you're telling him what's about to happen, namely, you'll go back over everything he already knows and summarize it, ready to move on to the next steps. He'll like the fact that you're taking control because if he wants the property, it shows you're confident and your certainty. Once you've summarized, it is time to give him a final chance to ask any pressing questions. He may ask genuine questions or he may begin to ask trivial questions about the color of the front door. If he has no more questions, you have a deal. If he does have questions, you need to answer each question with a pre-close. Most people hate being closed because it means they actually have to make a decision. I love being closed because I like making decisions. If you don't like being sold to, it means you don't like selling. And if you don't like selling, it means you're broke. If you want to get on in life, you better get good at closing deals. If it makes you feel uncomfortable, then get over it. You can either be comfortable and broke, or uncomfortable and rich. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. At the Property Investors Crash Course, people step so far out of their comfort zone, and that is why they get results. I am known for saying, if you're not growing, you're dying, and the only way to grow is to get outside of your comfort zone, so it's time to get comfortable being uncomfortable. So by now, you have an investor who has said he really likes the deal. He's ready to buy and has the funds in place. He's now asking nominal questions simply because he's a human being playing for time. The reason he's doing this is because he does not like making decisions. Your job is to best serve him, to sell him the deal. So for every question, you answer with a pre-close question, such as, If you were to go ahead, how soon would you be able to pay the reservation fee? Or if I can verify everything I've just said over an email, would you like to go ahead? You'll notice these are also if would questions, like we used earlier for negotiating the deal in the first place. So you'll use the if would technique for getting the deal. You'll use the if would technique for selling the deal. You need to master this. You will use these magic words all the time as a successful property entrepreneur. If he answers positively to the pre-close, you just need to assume that he's good to go. Don't talk too much. Just ask these questions. Let him sell himself and then move to the next phase. Terms and conditions. You should never do business without a clear written agreement. This is not only to prevent people from lying and going back on their verbal word, but also for clarification, because human beings are known to forget. Even when I do business with my relatives or best friends, I always make sure that everything is written down clearly. I completely trust them, but I've been in this game long enough to know that it is important. At this point in the conversation, you're going to tell the investor exactly what is going to happen next. Say something like this. I'm delighted you'd like to secure the property. Here's what happens now. I'll send you over a contract with our terms and conditions. As soon as you've read these and are happy, sign them and send them right back to me. I'll then promptly invoice you our bank details for £2,500 for the finder's fee, and as soon as this is paid, the property will be reserved for you. I'll then introduce you to the seller and management company, and your solicitor will take over from there. Is that all okay? Get the buyer to agree on timeframes, because you do not want to be waiting around for days to get paid. Ask, once I've sent this, how soon will you be able to send it me back signed? Get a time and agree on it. You can get your contract drawn up inexpensively by a solicitor that I would recommend. However, on my financial freedom challenge, I didn't have the money to do this. So I literally just wrote it myself in plain English, and then I sent it via email, and they just responded and said, yes, I agree. Although this isn't necessarily ideal, this will stand up in court. As long as the terms are fair and in keeping with the law, this works because, believe me, I've sold over 250 properties and have trained hundreds of deal packages, and I know the law well on this, and I've seen everything. I'm not a lawyer and cannot advise on legal matters, but it is imperative that you're set up compliantly to cover yourself. You can discover this yourself or in our further training or read about it in Whatever It Takes by Alasdair Cunningham, which is a book that's also on Amazon. Invoice. When the investor returns the agreed terms and conditions, even if this is just over an email dialogue, it is time to send the invoice. While I was Lucas, I used an invoice app on my telephone called Invoice2Go, which sends professional invoices in seconds and takes minutes to set up. I regularly tell my students, they have not been sold until you see the gold. In other words, do not celebrate the sale until you have the money in your bank. I always keep trying to sell the deal until the money's in the bank. Some people rely on somebody's word. They'll say, this investor promised to pay me at 6 o'clock tomorrow, so I'll hold out for him, and until then, the deal is now sold. That is stupid, because a lot of people tell you that they're going to send you money, and then they don't. And then they come up with excuses and reasons and delaying techniques. So what I do is I just keep selling it. And even if I sell the same deal more than once, sometimes I've invoiced 3 people for the deal. It's a first come, first serve basis. When the money comes in the bank, that is when it's sold. If I invoice 3 people, sometimes you'll find 2 people will send you the money. Now you could say, oh, that's gonna be a bit awkward. It's not. I return the second lot of money to the investor. I tell him, I'm really sorry, I'm going to have to refund you because I've already been paid. I'll pay him his money immediately back. This will train him to be faster next time. It will also show him that I'm trustworthy because I sent him his money back, and you will begin to build a reputation as an investor that does not mess around, that does sell deals, and that keeps his word. When you get this reputation, which does not take that long if you do it properly and follow these steps, selling deals will become a piece of cake. And this whole process becomes extremely exhilarating and enormously profitable. Expectations. Make sure you set the right expectations with your investors and never, exaggerate the figures to make them more attractive, just to sell them quicker. In property, things can occasionally go wrong, but you do not want unhappy investors. I strongly recommend only selling deals you would buy yourself under the right circumstances. Make sure too that your investors understand your terms and conditions. Even if they sign the terms and conditions, they may have misunderstood them. You'll win the court case, if there is one, but you may get a bad reputation because they'll leave bad reviews because they didn't understand the expectations in the first place. Maybe you could say that's their fault. Maybe you could say they're stupid. But in my opinion, it's just not worth it. I'm not perfect. I've dropped the ball at times over the last 10 years, but the reason I've managed to become a multi-millionaire is because I have a nationwide reputation to always under-promise and over-deliver in everything I do. In my property investing, in my deal selling, in my training, always set the expectations lower, deliver higher, and make sure you never exaggerate to your investors. Sadly, towards the end of day 4 on my financial freedom challenge, the event organisers noticed that I had a microphone and they saw that I was secretly recording and I got kicked out. If you want to see it happen, then just search for the documentary on YouTube. It's called Undercover Millionaire Starts Again from Scratch, Financial Freedom Challenge. Chapter 5. Use the money to build your own portfolio. Building your own portfolio is a smart thing to do alongside deal packaging. It's not a bad idea to focus on one strategy, but at the same time, you don't want all your eggs in one basket. Your portfolio can consist of rent-to-rent, lease option agreements, buy-to-let, and HMOs, but it really depends on your personal goals. Many of my students begin with deal packaging for others, not only because it's one of the quickest ways to generate fast cash, but it forces you to become an excellent property finder. This means that you can keep the very best properties for yourself and get paid to do it. Alistair Cunningham came to the Property Investors Crash Course and decided to focus on deal packaging. He now makes £25,000 per month and counting from just passing deals onto investors. That would be enough for a down payment to buy a £100,000 property every single month. You may wonder why I keep referring to so many of my students. It's because I'm so eager for you to realise that I am not superhuman. I'm not the only person who has managed to become financially free using the strategies that I teach. There are thousands of others in the UK who have done it, and I've helped hundreds of them firsthand myself. I interview a new success student on my YouTube channel every single week, and most of them are very ordinary people from completely different backgrounds. Paul and Anne Waters do not like dealing with investors. They're great at finding the properties, but they don't like selling the deals and they don't like dealing with the investors. Since coming on the Property Investors Crash Course, the first time round, which was about 18 months ago, they made over £50,000 in sourcing deals, yet have never sold a deal and have no investors on their list. All they do is pass their deals to another deal sourcer, who then sells the deal for them and they split the fee. Paul and Anne have used the money to buy their own property in Grimsby. With the £50,000, they bought a cheap property, refurbished it, and then refinanced it, pulling nearly all of the £50,000 back out to go on and do it again. Their story became so successful that it made headlines in the Grimsby Telegraph, despite them living in East Essex. The average deal sells for about £2,500. So selling one deal per week would add up to about £10,000 per month. Ironically, this would be just about enough money for a deposit on a £40,000 house each month. What is to stop you doing this immediately? Maybe buying a property each month sounds ambitious, but you don't need to sell many properties to quit your job. Passing on just one deal per month would replace the average salary. Now that is achievable. Your first deal is always your hardest. Thereafter, it gets easier and easier. when I was Lucas Rube, I was having serious trouble managing to sell my first deal. I had lots of really good deals, but I just couldn't sell them. And I was having the estate agents and the sellers who I'd secured the deals with now on my back asking me what's going on. The HMO estate agent was chasing me for my documents, as was the agent for the development opportunity. I was meeting Eleanor later that morning, who was the serviced accommodation apartment lady, and I'd agreed to pay her £4,850 to secure two of those apartments. The problem was, I didn't have any money at all, and I hadn't sold any deals. It was frustrating because Samuel Leeds could sell these deals within 30 seconds flat, but Lucas Rube just didn't have the credibility to pull this off. Eleanor had also asked me to bring my photo ID and my payslips to show my company could afford the rent to the landlord. When I got to her office, I didn't have the money. I was not in a position to let her credit check me because Lucas Rube had no credit nor a job. I explained that my company was new and I didn't have any income before the business was set up due to me being a university student. The agent had no idea that I was actually an undercover millionaire. I don't remember exactly what I said to her, although part of the conversation is on the YouTube documentary. If you haven't seen it, check it out. But she told me that despite not being able to have a guarantor, and despite my business being new and not being able to show my previous earnings, she said, "Lucas, if you're confident that you can pay the landlord on time, and you're confident that you can do this, as long as you have your ID, your proof of address, that's acceptable, we can give this a go." Now, my referee said, I was unbelievably lucky to come across such a flexible estate agent. The truth is, I don't believe in luck, because the more I practice, the luckier I get, as Tiger Woods says. And even if she'd have said, I cannot without showing my proof of earnings, I would have then just been forced to find a creative solution, for instance, finding a guarantor, which would have been challenging for Lucas as he didn't have any family, but anything is possible when you're on a mission. I asked Eleanor, can I make the bank transfer on my laptop? And she said, that's fine, here are my bank details. You can do it now in the office. I thought, oh my goodness, I haven't got the money to pay her. What am I going to do? And in that moment, I had no choice but to make a pretend payment. I said the money had left my account, but I hadn't actually sent anything because I didn't have a penny to my name. She said as soon as it's landed, she'd call me and arrange for me to go back to collect the two sets of keys for the two rent-to-rent apartments. It felt so close, but yet so far away. I was beginning to feel anxious and a little sick. A few hours later, she was ringing me, asking what was going on, as she hadn't received the payment of £4,850. I honestly, at this point, thought I was going to lose the rent-to-rent apartments, and I just didn't have an answer to tell her. Why hadn't she received the money? Because I didn't have any and I'd done a fake payment. I couldn't tell her that. This was very, very stressful. That same evening, I attended a networking event where I had to get the money. I had the deals. I now need to sell two deals to get the money to pay the agent. Unfortunately, at that event, my cover was blown again. People recognised me through the fake tan, through the wig, through the glasses. They saw me and one lady called me out at the networking event and said, "Is that Samuel Leeds?" Everybody knew that it was me. As soon as the break happened, people queued up to take pictures with me and my referee was not having it at all. He said, "Samuel, you cannot sell deals in this room because everyone knows who you are and it would be cheating. Let's get the heck out of here and you're going to have to try and figure a way to get the money tomorrow." I was absolutely gutted. While driving home that same evening, I had a conversation with a gentleman named Sean, who'd been referred to me from somebody at the previous two-day property meeting. Using the sales techniques learned in the previous chapter, I managed to get Sean to commit to buying the development opportunity, but he said he wanted to pay the following day. Whilst I was delighted, I knew, if you haven't got the gold, they haven't been sold. It is very possible to sell lots of deals, make lots of money, use that money to buy properties, and then let the snowball grow and grow until you become a millionaire. However, never forget that your first deal is extremely hard. Even me, as Lucas Rube, but with all my knowledge, confidence, and experience, I was now really, really struggling. Chapter 6. Utilise no money down strategies, such as rent to rents and lease option agreements. I woke up on day 6 of my financial freedom challenge to a text message from an investor, Raj, who wanted to secure my Doncaster HMO. I was over the moon. I sent him the terms and he agreed to pay £2,500 later that day. I needed precisely £4,850 to secure two of my serviced apartments and now had two buyers who were promising to pay me £5,000 total. I spent the whole morning calling all my investors and using all my sales skills as though my life depended on it. I spoke to a lady called Pam about the third serviced apartment that was also in Sheffield. I told her I was getting two apartments in the same area and she could use the same management systems I was choosing for my own flats. I also gave her a 3-month break clause so that she could pull out after this period and I would refund her in full. I knew, of course, this wouldn't happen, but I needed to give her complete peace of mind because Lucas Ruby did not have the reputation and trust that Samuel Leeds enjoys. If 3 months later she did pull out, I'd just keep the apartment for myself. I'd done my due diligence. I knew it was good. Once I ran out of people to ring, I could have waited for money to come in and spent my time worrying about paying Eleanor and what to say to delay the agents, but I knew that wouldn't get me anywhere. And anyway, they probably had other things to think about besides chasing me. Instead, I got out my laptop and started to find more leads. This time I was looking for a lease option agreement, LOA, which is when you buy a house now, but agree with the seller to pay for it down the line. This is usually some years down the line. In the meantime, you benefit from the capital appreciation of the property and, of course, the rent, the cash flow. Lease option agreements are amongst my favourite kind of deals because I've got very, very wealthy from them, as Samuel Leeds, over the last decade. While I was booking viewings and speaking to sellers, I had an email with the signed terms and a message from Raj saying, "Your fee has been paid." I immediately checked my Lucas Ruby bank account and there it was, £2,500. Boom! It felt like such a large amount of money and yet I cannot remember the last time I got so excited about such a small amount of money. The good news was that I had £2,500 now in my bank. The bad news was I needed £4,850 as soon as possible. I went on travelling across the country in a car that was bright yellow, 15 years old, and completely falling apart. I viewed properties in Sheffield, Doncaster, Hull. I offered to buy some of these properties on a lease option agreement, buy now, pay later, and had vendors who were very interested that were asking to talk to the solicitors about it. Unfortunately, nothing came off that week, but I've still now got phone calls from vendors interested in giving me their house for free on a lease option agreement. This is not me being magical. On my YouTube channel, you can search Samuel Leeds lease option agreements. You'll learn more about them and you can see story after story after story of my success students that have done similar deals too. Towards the end of the day, with £2,500 in my bank, I'm walking back after all these viewings to my little yellow car and I'm constantly checking my bank account to see if there happens to be any more in. I refreshed my bank screen and there was now, sitting in the bank, £5,000. Sean had now also paid for his development opportunity. He didn't even email me. It was no big deal to him. But to me, this was the difference between me being able to secure the two rent-to-rent deals or not. It was a complete game changer. I did the most ridiculous celebration dance that sadly did make it onto my YouTube documentary. I sat in the car and I transferred £4,850 straight over to Eleanor and I collected all of the documents from Rad and Sean and forwarded them to the estate agents. Eleanor had now received the money and agreed for me to get the keys the next day. The breakdown of the £4,850 looked like this. Apartment 1. It was a 2-bed furnished apartment. I had to pay £1,300, 2 months upfront rent of £650, £650 refundable deposit, and a £200 application fee to the agent. Apartment 2 was a 4-bed part furnished penthouse. I had to pay 1 month rent upfront of £1,250. I had to pay a refundable deposit of £1,250 and an application fee to the agent of £200. So the total required to secure the two apartments on a rent-to-rent basis was £4,850. How will I manage these serviced apartments? Managing serviced apartments is an absolute nightmare if you do not have good systems in place. I would highly recommend speaking to a good property training company such as Az before setting up a serviced accommodation property, because you can lose thousands of pounds and hundreds of hours doing it incorrectly. Here's a brief checklist of what you need to do. 1. Advertise. After securing the two apartments, I was so excited and wanted to see the money coming in as soon as possible. So I put it up myself on Airbnb and Booking.com in a frantic rush. Usually, this side of the business my team deals with. And I'm not an expert in listings, online, properties, and I'm not going to lie, I did it a little bit wrong. The pictures were terrible, the descriptions were bad, and there was no online calendar that synced all the bookings together to avoid double bookings. This was partly because I'm not great at this side of the business, and it was also because I was in such a rush. The rates were also all the same every day, when you should vary them dramatically depending on the day and the season. I did get bookings coming in very quickly, but double bookings started to happen, and my listings were generally so poor that when my team saw them back in the office, they removed them and relisted them properly. I could have done it myself if I'd had the time, but after completing the challenge, I didn't really want to start managing the properties. I actually just booked a flight to Dubai, and while I was lying on the beach in Dubai, the last thing I wanted to do was to be listing properties on Airbnb again, especially as some of the beaches I was lying on were the most breathtaking in the world. 2. Key systems. The worst thing you can do with serviced accommodation properties is go and let the guests in physically yourself, as this will just become a job. The easiest way to set up the right system so that this doesn't have to happen is by simply putting a key safe outside the property. I use one called Key Master that can be installed easily and purchased for around £17 from Argos or Screwfix. In the confirmation email that the guests receive, it will also inform them of the key safe and the code. I like to do a brief video showing them where it is so that they know exactly what to expect when they get to your property. You can alternatively use companies like Keynest if the property does not allow for a key safe outside. 3. Cleaners. The cleaners are your best asset, so choose carefully. The cleaners will go to the property each time a new guest leaves. They'll not only clean it, but make sure everything is in order. Change over the bed sheets, change over the covers. I would recommend using a company that understands exactly what you need rather than a self-employed individual who could let you down or get sick. 4. Virtual PA. There will be times when the cleaner, the guests, or the landlord will need to speak to someone directly. This person will by default be you. Sometimes it will be urgent, such as the guests not being able to find the property. If you give everyone your personal number to contact you anytime, that's okay and you'll make lots of money, but it will never be truly passive income because you'll always be on potential call out. My advice would be give everyone your number to begin with. You be the point of contact. You make sure everything works. You liaise with the cleaner, the guests and the landlord. But every time there's an issue when someone needs to speak to you and someone has a question for you, write the question down and write the answer to the question down as well. Over time, what will happen is you'll create a little FAQ manual. After 3 or 6 months, you'll notice that whenever there's a problem or someone calls you, it's always the same kind of stuff. At this point, this is when you can find a virtual PA, such as all-day PA. Tell the operators all the questions that could crop up, all the answers written down in your manual, and then let them be the new point of contact. If they get a peculiar question that they don't know the answer to, then they and only then will then get in touch with you. You will then tell them the answer and they will then add that to the manual. Over time, what will happen is this business will become a high cash flowing business that is completely hands off and passive. How much am I making now from these two serviced accommodation apartments? Well, the truth is, until you've been running them for at least 1 year, but ideally several years, you can't know 100% what the exact earnings will be. I'm making around about £2,000 per month off the two apartments. Because serviced accommodation is a business that will vary each month depending on many factors, you just need to make sure that the worst case scenario will not cripple you. If you don't know the market well, you should always have a break clause after 3 or 6 months with the landlord. As I write this, it's still only 6 weeks after securing the apartments, but I've had many bookings and the guests have loved the apartments so far. It will usually take some months to build up good reviews, which will then snowball into more bookings. Remember, this is a business. But much more important than how those two apartments are getting on is actually how my many other apartments and many other properties are getting on as a direct result of that week. You see, Lucas Ruby made a lot of good relationships. And as I said, a good relationship is better than a good deal. And I have since had half a dozen no money down opportunities passed to me by the agents who I found as Lucas Ruby. How amazing is that? My business, Lucas Ruby Limited, is still actively on company's house, and any deals that have come as a direct result of that week, I'm going to put into the company, and I'm personally, as Samuel Leeds, I'm not going to fund Lucas Ruby at all. I wonder how well the business will be doing in some years down the line. Although I did need funds to secure some of these deals, I started my Financial Freedom Challenge with nothing, and I made the money that was needed through deal selling. Therefore, anybody can do this regardless of your current financial situation. We even have international students who live overseas securing these types of deals in the UK. There's one guy called Gwyn, who you can find on my YouTube channel, listed in the playlist Winners on a Wednesday, and he explains how he lives in Russia and he does deal packaging and he does rent to serviced accommodation in the UK from afar using the systems that I teach. I've lost count of the number of people who've attended my property investors crash course and then replaced their income with lease option agreements and rent-to-rent deals. Just visit my website and see hundreds of stories. www.property-investors.co.uk. Do lease options stand in court? Yes! I've been in this business long enough to have bought the properties at the end of the 5 or 7 year term at very embarrassing prices. Sometimes the vendors have changed their mind, but because lease option agreements, when done properly and drawn up properly, are legally binding and stand up in court, I've still managed to buy the property at the end of the term. Is serviced accommodation the way forward? You have to know what you're doing when taking on such properties because there are some laws and rules that you need to comply with. The properties also have to be in the right area and you need to have the right booking systems in place. Please do not attempt to do this without the support and professional paid-for training that you will need. You'd never try and drive a car without driving lessons first and without passing your test, or attempt surgery before qualifying as a doctor. This is a business, not to be taken lightly. You can expect powerful results, but you will not get rich quickly. It is more like get educated and then get wealthy over a period of time. However, hopefully in this book, you'll have already learned how to find deals, make deals, build your network, sell deals, build your portfolio and buy properties without using any money. There is, however, one more massive crucial ingredient, and that is step 7. So let me take you into chapter 7. Chapter 7. Take massive action and do not be afraid of what anybody thinks. My decision to start all over again on camera was a brave one. I could have failed and looked ridiculous. Many people were hoping that I would fail, just to give them an excuse to also fail. I had no control over the editing of the video, as it was done by a third-party freelancer, Jan Rekalov, who was determined to find the truth about whether the challenge was really possible or not. My reputation was on the line, and this could have resulted in my name being a laughing stock in the property industry for many years to come. I have a saying, big risk is big reward. There's always a reason why you cannot be successful. There's also always a reason why you can and why you should. You get to decide which reasons you live by, and you get to create your own life. All of the successes that came from my 7 days on the Financial Freedom Challenge came with a risk that I would fail or get rejected. that best things in life are on the other side of fear. So if you're reading this but are coming up with excuses already as to why now is not the right time, I'm telling you, yes, it is. There'll never be the perfect time, but today is your time. On day 7, I went and collected the keys to 2 service departments. My car would not start that morning, so I took a bus. While I was on the bus, I received a payment from Pam of £3,000. I had officially now made £8,000 in 7 days. I told Eleanor who I really was, and I gave her my real Samuel Leeds ID. She was gobsmacked. She'd never heard of Samuel Leeds, but went straight to Google to find out if I was legitimate. Eleanor and I have since become good friends, and she even shared this documentary of me on her Facebook wall. She's agreed to pass on many more apartments and even better deals to Lucas, aka Samuel Leeds. In being prepared to look stupid in front of Eleanor, I actually gained an excellent business contact and new friend. Most people live a boring life because they're afraid to look stupid in front of other people who wouldn't even attend their funeral if they died. I believe life is too short to worry about looking silly. If you have the ability to potentially make a lot of money, but don't do so because of laziness or fear, I'd call that selfish. People love to make property so complicated just to stop you doing it because they're afraid themselves. But being a property entrepreneur is actually very easy, and financial freedom is very possible. After completing my financial freedom challenge in just 7 days, I was surprised that I achieved it so quickly. So I surprised my beautiful wife, Amanda, with a luxurious holiday in Dubai for 2 weeks. It was an incredible feeling lying on the beach while watching my iPhone ping every few hours with new bookings for my Sheffield apartments. The average booking is £120 per night in these type of luxury apartments, and the average occupancy rate in Sheffield for serviced accommodation is currently around 80%. I expect to make around £2,000 per month for these apartments, and Eleanor is going to pass me plenty more. I also had £3,000 left over to play with at the end of the week. In the space of a fortnight of the Financial Freedom Challenge, the documentary has had over 500,000 views. It's now had over 1 million views. The story has been in newspapers all across England. I've been interviewed about the story because it was so interesting on BBC Midlands Today, TV at the 6 o'clock news. I mean, the big risk of documenting this challenge had now paid off with big reward, namely proving to the world that financial freedom is possible for anyone. Admittedly, I had a huge advantage in this challenge because of my previous property experience. But anybody can freely acquire this knowledge. Now, I would like to invite you to continue your education as a property investor by joining me at the Property Investors Crash Course. Property is the second best investment you can make, but the best is yourself. As I come to an end of this Financial Freedom Challenge book, I hope you've learned a lot. I hope it's been useful. It's now time for you to step out and maybe take some risks. Doing the Financial Freedom Challenge, for me, as I've said, was a big risk. I could have looked stupid. I could have had egg on my face. But within 14 days of doing the challenge, I had appeared in newspapers across the UK. I had a YouTube video documentary that had over 500,000 views on it. Now it's had over 1 million views. I've been on BBC Midlands Today, or I've been on TV talking about the challenge. I've touched and impacted tens of thousands of people to get into property and to take responsibility of their finances, which is a massive buzz for me, but that's only happened because I stepped out and took a risk. And in the same way, you're only going to be successful if you step out, if you pick up the phone, if you take action. And the most dangerous thing that you can be right now is a motivated idiot. What do I mean by a motivated idiot? Well, you're clearly motivated because you've listened to this and you're excited and you want to do property, you want to make money. A motivated idiot is someone who takes action without the knowledge. So I don't want that to happen for you. So I'd like to encourage you and invite you to take your education further by spending 2 days with me at the Property Investors Crash Course. It's completely free, there's no catch, and I will be there for 2 days. You've done the theory, you've listened to this Audible book, but I think it's time to do some practical now. Let's find some deals. Let's get the practical ready. And I think that property is the second best investment, but the best is yourself. So take 2 days out of your life. Come and spend it with me. And if you like this book, The Crash Course is going to completely blow your socks off. So you can book on completely free at www.property-investors.co.uk. There's a £1 booking fee. There's also a no-show fee because we only want serious people there. So if you book on, there's a no-show fee if you don't turn up because that's rude. But you won't do that. I'll see you there and we'll kick some ass and we'll have the best year of our lives. Thank you so much for listening to the book. I can't wait to spend 2 days with you and I'm cheering you on to your success in financial freedom through property.